time we have. We may have Gina get up and lead us in one more song. You may be seated if you so desire. Amen. Amen. Session 52, chapter 6. You know, I was just talking to somebody today who was telling me, you know, you're talking about a biblical worldview. Do you know what that, you know, that biblical worldview as far as living your life and believing as far as, how, you know, the Word of God? And I was shocked because in this, can't think of the company, right, and it slips my mind, that'll do this research. It's on the tip of my tongue. But they were saying that, you know, like 15% of Christians actually believe in a biblical worldview, and that only 50% of pastors believe that. And so I was shocked. I was shocked, amen? So here's the thing I've come to know about the Word of God. If you're just reading it, it can just be words on a page. But you know, but when Jesus makes it revelation to your life with his love, man, that's when it changes a heart. For so many, I don't know about you, for so many years I could memorize and read all these scriptures and do all these different things, and it didn't change anything, because at that point I was trying to make myself line up to it. But man, when I started to understand his grace and his mercy and his love, that's when the word became life, revelation. I think of Paul, who in Galatians says that I had a revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the Old Testament brought to life. Christ being hidden in the Old Testament. Amen? So where before, where Paul knew the law like few others, you agree with me? Paul knew the Old Testament like few others. That's all they had then, right, was the Old Testament. And then when he gave his life to Christ, and then he says, I had a revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of who he was. So as I begin to study the Word nowadays, I'm saying, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Man, I don't want to take the Word of God as a list of do's and don'ts. It never works for me. I don't know about you. But if his heart, his love, and his purposes are revealed to the Word, man, that changes a life. That changes a life like that. The power of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that make any sense? Do you agree with that? Amen? And so I'm on John session 52, I said. And so we're going to start at John. We're in John chapter 6. So we know that what Jesus was raised in Galilee. Can you put that map up for me? Do you have that handy? Bill, can we see it on? Let's see if we can even see it on the screen. So you can see in John chapter 6, where Jesus fed the 5,000. And so we're getting ready. So Jesus, being what he was raised in Galilee, right? Did you know Jesus spent a lot of his time preaching and teaching outside the city? So in the rural areas, because if he went to Jerusalem, right, that's where all the liberals, I mean, that's where all those, I'm sorry about that, guys. But that was where all the people were, it's kind of similar, I mean, to say this, those were all of those that were under the most influence of the Sadducees and Pharisees, right? That they were under the influence. So when Jesus would go in those areas, that's where they were looking to kill him. So he spent a lot of time in the rural areas. You know, in the rural areas, there are probably a lot more poor people. A lot of the people that had influence and were well connected, but they're in the cities. Wouldn't you agree? They're where the temple is. They're where all the hustle and bustle. And so Jesus spent a lot of his time in the rural areas. Nothing wrong with rural areas. Anybody here? Amen? So even the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, works in people in rural areas. No matter where you live. Jesus, if Jesus was around today, in our area, you'd hear about him being in Ash Fork. I'm telling you. You'd hear about him being on old Route 66 in Peach Springs. You'd hear about him coming into Paulden. You'd hear about coming into Paulden. You'd hear about going into these different cities, and it would be no different. Let me just say this before I start. It'd be no different. He would be, if he went into certain cities in this nation, they'd run him out. They would run him out. Absolutely run him out right now. So Jesus, where he served his purpose, he was spent a lot of time in the rural area. So up at north here in Galilee, he's where he fed the 5,000. And we're going to read about them getting his disciples getting in a boat after this by themselves without Jesus. So he's in this. Remember, he's in this rural area. And people saw him in this rural area. They saw him doing miracles. They were actually on. Remember, I taught they were on their way to what to for the Passover, and they saw these crowds, and they said, "What's going on over there?" And then they saw Jesus doing miracles. They said, "We've heard about this guy, so let's check these miracles out." And then Jesus feeds the 5,000 men. So we had, that was just men, and then we had women and children. There could have been what 15,000 people there, perhaps. But when he multiplied those loaves and multiplied those fish, that crowd changed. Completely changed. So mind that all of a sudden we go from saying this is pretty nifty. We're gonna look at this. We know what the Pharisees have said about him. We know that the teachers of the law who are the leaders. Remember, we're talking about a spirit of religion, right? Brainwashing people to such an aspect that when the Messiah was going to show up, there's no way he's going to show up in Galilee. There's no way he's going to look very average. There's no way that he's going to dress very average. Man, he's going to be the King of Kings. He's going to free us from the stronghold, amen, the stronghold of what they were under at that time. He's going to show up in a white horse. He's going to show up and liberate us from the Romans right now. For him to be, consider this to be born, and then to run, his family have to run off and go live in Egypt for a couple of years. There's no way people thought, man, when he shows up on the scene, he is not going to seem average or even maybe below average as he leaves and has to live in Egypt with his parents for the first couple of years of his life. And so they see this, you got to understand, so they see these miracles, so they're wondering, we see these miracles, but we hear what the religious leaders are saying about him. And then they see them, but when they see him multiply food, all bets are off and everything changes. And they realize, man, there's, unfortunately, we're going to read to the end of this chapter. It wasn't for Jesus being the Messiah that they pursue him, as we see in these next, as we're going to see after this time that the disciples are going across the boat. So John's across the Sea of Galilee. So verse 15, it says this, Bill, you have that. So Jesus, aware that they intended to come and take him by force, you're going to be king, by gosh. we're not going to ask you politely why you're here. We're not going to ask you for what's your purpose here, but we see this dazzling miracle of making food, and this must be like in the days of being in the wilderness where they'll talk about it, where God had manna, right, or quail, or provided water. They said, so they were looking at it in that aspect. So Jesus, aware that they intended to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. So Jesus splits up from his disciples, from the apostles. He splits up, and let's start with John 6:16. And by the way, we're going to look at, there's three different accounts of this. There's three different accounts in the Word of God of the disciples going across the Sea of Galilee on this boat. If we get a chance, we're going to quickly look at them because they all have a little different perspective the Holy Spirit gave the writer. So now when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. In addition, the sea began getting rough because a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rode about 25 or 30 stadia, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. So they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So in this account we read that Jesus gets in the boat, and they're translated, man. They're across this lake, this sea that was about 7 or 8 miles total. So they're rowing. A couple of things I want to mention that, man, they get in this boat and it's towards dark. I don't know, you know, this crowd is coming to take Jesus by force and to make him king. So he gets them in. So he says, you get in this boat and you cross. I'll meet you. You know, he said, I'll meet you over here, or whatever Jesus told them. And so when they get in that boat, it's like dark or almost dark. And so he puts them in this boat and it's dark. It says, row to the other side. I don't know if it's normal that you get in a boat after dark and row 6-7 miles. I don't know if that's normal. But that's what Jesus told them to do. And Jesus didn't go with them. Jesus had not come to them. So Jesus takes off, and he takes off a different direction. He goes up into the mountain, we'll read, to pray. But he sends them off into the dark. And I don't know how they compass that. I don't know what's going on. But the people are pressing him. They want to take him and make him king. He says, you guys, I'll catch up with you. It's dark. So Jesus had not come to them yet. The sea is rough. So the other thing is, now the sea is rough. It's dark. Think about it. It's dark. And now the sea is rough. So they're battling that. And then a strong wind is blowing. So I don't know if they took off and everything's fine except it's dark and we'll get there. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's common. It just doesn't seem common. We'll find out because of what time it was when Jesus comes to them. Strong wind is blowing, man. They had rowed 3 to 4 miles. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you, but that's a substantial distance at night. Rowing 3 to 4 miles, I'd be done in about 100 yards. I don't know about you. So they're rowing. They're out. They're going through. They're 3 to 4 miles out. And then all of a sudden we see Jesus is walking on the water. So they see Jesus walking on the water. They didn't know how Jesus was going to get to the other side, but here they see Jesus walking on the water. And then the thing is, Jesus gets in and they are immediately translated to their destination. You know, one thing I noticed, you can be in a rough time in your life, right? You can be in a rough time in your life, saints. And when God shows up on the scene, he can translate you out of that situation anytime he wants. That's the thing. If you're going through a struggle, anything going on in your life, don't give up. Don't give in. And sometimes you think it feels like you're rowing forever. And it seems like it's dark. You feel like sometimes you don't have any direction. But you don't give up. You don't give in. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus, the miracle maker. He shows up on the water. I'm telling you, Jesus can show up. You can be in situations where you think, I don't know how Jesus is going to show up and help me. But I guarantee you, they never had and dreamed in a million years he's going to show up walking on water. God can show up in your situation in a way that you could not imagine. That you could, he can show up in a situation in such a way that you could not imagine. Like them, you're all of a sudden startled. So what you do is you keep rowing. You keep trusting. Sometimes it seems like I can't keep going. You ever had that in circumstances in your life? But I'm telling you, Jesus showed up on the scene, and then they were translated. All of a sudden, God can take care of that situation like that, translated to the other side. To the other side. That situation you're in can be like that. God does suddenlies. So when you're in the middle of that, and you're like, man, the situation's rough. Rough waters in my life, in your life, rough waters in the nation. I'm telling you, God can change things like that. He showed it right there. I want to continue because I want to read a couple of the other accounts because there's some additional information given that we don't read in John. So we're going to flip over and read the same account in the book of Mark now, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 45. And it says, Mark chapter 6, 45, it says, "And immediately Jesus had his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he himself dismissed the crowd. And after saying goodbye to them, he left for the mountain to pray." So we see here that he, a little more information, he said goodbye. And then this one, he dismissed the crowd. So however he dismissed his crowd, his entourage that was with him is gone. They're in a boat and gone, and Jesus takes off a different direction. "And immediately Jesus had his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he himself dismissed the crowd. And after saying goodbye to them, he left for the mountain to pray." So he goes up to pray. "When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea." So we're right in the middle, right? So if it's 3 or 4 miles, that's what I'm saying. It's about 8 miles to get to the other side. So the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars. "For the wind was against them at about the fourth watch of the night." So we're getting more information, right? "He came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them." He's just going to cruise by them. "But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought that it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished." This is an amazing thing here. They were utterly astonished. Verse 52. "For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves." Hear this, saints. "But their hearts were hardened." Wow. Before I stop there, let me just mention a few things. In this one, we see that Jesus immediately sends them in the boat. So we're getting a little different information. Dismisses the crowd and goes up on the mountain to pray. So he takes a little time to dismiss them and he gets out of there. From land, it says from land he could see them straining at the oars. I just want to read it a little bit different. And maybe this is what happened, I don't know. But just know that in the Greek there wasn't any verses and there wasn't any periods, okay? So I'm going to start reading again from verse 47. "When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars." So Jesus, from where he was, could see what was going on. From the land, he wasn't there. He could see them straining at the oars. Aren't you glad that in every situation where we're at, God sees our straining? He sees where we're at. It's not easy just to trust in God in every situation and not have some internal or mental or emotional or physical straining. Has anybody experienced that? When I see that, it makes me realize my Jesus sees all of that. He sees it. It seems like he's not there, and he wasn't there physically, but he saw them straining at the oars. He saw what's going on. And for you and I, in our lives and our situations, he sees our straining. He sees where we're at. He writes these things in the Word of God so that you and I can look at him and start looking at that, and through the Holy Spirit saying, "Lord, you saw them." Let me just read that again and we'll continue. So when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. So even for where Jesus was at, before he ever walked on that water and showed up on the scene instantly, he saw them straining. Thank you, Lord, that you see every detail in our lives. Do you believe that? Sometimes we can think, I hope you don't think this, that, man, this running this universe, all these details, everything is going on. you sure, God, you see the little details? But he sees the little details. We belong to him. And in the Word of God, it says that he sees when a robin drops, right? He sees that. We talked about that some Wednesdays ago. He sees those things. He says, you're much more valuable than any bird, any animal. Don't you know that I see you? Amen. That makes me excited. Thank you, Lord, that you see us. It's good to know, to encourage our hearts, to remind ourselves that he sees every little detail in our lives. Amen. He's detail-oriented, and he sees the big picture. He sees it all. And so on this one, and so first thing, immediately Jesus sends them in the boat. So this time we get a little more detail. It says immediately, hey, get in the boat, guys. This crowd has ideas for me that is not of my Father. Get in the boat and get out of here. Dismisses the crowd and goes up to the mountain to pray. So he dismisses. He takes some time, says, hey, we're leaving. We're done here. I don't know how he dismissed it. Church is over. From the land, he could see them straining at the oars. I mentioned that. Amen. He could see them straining at the oars. This time the wind was, instead of just the wind being a strong wind, it says that the wind was opposing them. So not only do we have a strong wind, but it would be our fortunes that it's against us. Why couldn't it be at our tail? Why could it be not helping us get to the other side, but it's opposing us? So it's almost like this in the middle, and now we're like stuck. This wind is opposing us. So they're stuck. You ever been stuck sometimes? The winds of life opposing you, or the enemy opposing you, and you feel like you're stuck. Ever been there? We've all been there. Amen. So the wind is opposing them. Could have been, we're in the middle now. It's like, man, go turn around and go back. And that's not what Jesus told us to do. Jesus said to go this direction. We're following in what he said, but there's a headwind. And you know, sometimes God can speak to our hearts and put us in a direction in our lives. And if there's a wind opposing us, we can't give up and say, God must have not told me to do that. He must not be with me. I must have heard him wrong. But I'm telling you, when you hear the voice of God and you're following him, expect some wind to oppose you. And sometimes to be stuck right in the middle saying, I can't go back because there's nothing for me back there. And I know the Lord told me to go this direction, but I'm stuck right in the middle. And sometimes we're stuck in the middle. That's a good time to say, Lord, you're going to have to show up here. I can't do anything without your help. Amen? It's a hard place, stuck right there in the middle. Wind opposing me. Isn't this Jesus? Told us to cross this, and he leads us right into a mess. Could you imagine some of their thinking at the time? Well, how do we know? Because we're going to see, because their hearts had been hardened. Wind was opposing them. Did you know it was between 3 and 6 in the morning? So I don't know what time it was that Jesus said, hey, get in there and go this direction. Are you sure, Jesus? It's dark. And we get going. And then the wind is opposing us. We're stuck in the middle. And then we're exhausted, and it's 3 to 6 in the morning in the fourth watch. No strength left. Could use a good night's rest. Can't put the anchor down. This wind is tearing us all over the place. Lord, what are we going to do? I mean, that's kind of, if you think about it, when you look into this deeper, it's kind of it's a tough situation they're in. I imagine they're exhausted. At the fourth hour, 3 to 6 a.m., and they've been rowing. They've been doing what they're doing to get across, and here they are. Jesus intended to pass them by walking on the water. It says intended. He knew he would catch them. He knew they would see him. But he said, I'm just gonna walk by and get a reaction from them. And they thought Jesus was a ghost, and they were terrified. I mean, who can walk on water? Wind stops when Jesus gets in the boat. In the other account, he gets in the boat and it's translated, right? You see, it's and the wind stopped. I want to go back, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. And then this is what the account of the Holy Spirit in the book of Mark says, and they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. Isn't that amazing? But their hearts were hardened. And so what Jesus is saying here is, man, you saw what I did there with the loaves. But yet you're still astonished when you see me stop the wind. And so what he's saying is that what you had seen me do there, that it should have built your faith up to say, God, you can do anything. And see, sometimes we've got to remind ourselves, we've got to remind our flesh, we've got to remind our mind and our soul, we've got to start thinking back about saying, wait a second, God, you delivered me in this situation. You didn't fail me. You've never left me or forsaken me. And so that God wants that hard attitude, that we're worshiping God and saying, Lord, thank you for providing the answer. Not just pleading, saying, oh, God, please bring an answer, but a heart saying, thank you, Lord, for bringing the answer. Thank you for getting me out of this situation. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for healing my body in Jesus' name, because I know you're the God that healeth thee. But what it says, man, they were astonished. They saw that miracle, and instead of saying being wowed, when they said when it says it hardened their hearts, this is what's going on. I saw that, but I don't know how did that bread multiply, and how did that fish multiply? I saw it. But I don't know. I don't know what happened exactly. I seen him heal the sick, but make bread? Come on now. I've seen him raise the dead. I seen that. Did you think of the disciples thinking that? But multiplying food, I'm not sure about that. And you know, it means that where you see it, but yet you don't believe it. And so in this situation where it says their hearts were hardened, it says they had gained no insight. What's the insight? Jesus can do anything regardless of the situation. That's the insight. Regardless of what's going on in the middle of that body of water, the Sea of Galilee, no matter what's going on, of it's dark, the wind's taking us out, this boat could be capsized. We got waves now, but yet I don't know. I'm still looking to my own strength. I'm still looking at what I can do. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene, they had no insight. They had no insight of the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. I pray that you and I don't have hard hearts to God changing this generation. I hope we don't have a heart of saying, it's too late. It's too late for God to change me. I hope, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, so let me do it. Lord, it's too late to really change my life. Lord, I'm too far gone, or I'm set in my ways. No. You look back and say, God, everything you've done in my life, everything you've done, you've always been with me. Don't let those past incidents slip your mind. Or don't say, oh yeah, God did it, but this is a tougher situation. I saw him make that bread, but man, this situation here, we're in a tough situation. You know what's funny is the Lord told them to go there. And they find themselves right in the middle of a place where only God could help them. You ever been there? I just thank the Lord for you and I. Lord, thank you that our hearts are on fire for the Lord, encouraged in the Holy Spirit, strengthened by the Word of God, and remembering everything he's done in our past, that we can look back and say, that's a testimony. You did it before. This may be a different situation, but all things are possible for him and her that believe. All things are possible for him and her that believe. I think about that. I think about in Hebrews 11, that hall of fame of faith, right? The hall of faith. And it said all these things that they overcame, and it said it was all by faith. In situations, it's like, man, there's no hope here. And God said, God raising the dead, amen. God delivering them, setting them free. Others said, I don't care what it costs me. I am not going to deny the Lord. I mean, the power of faith, brothers and sisters, is amazing. You know what pleases God? Faith. You know what pleases God? Is faith. Trusting in him. That's what pleases. I mean, you're here by faith, aren't you? I'm telling you, if you're not here by faith, then you're crazy to be here. But you're here by faith. You believe the word of God can change lives. You believe it can encourage you and strengthen you, amen, and make you an overcomer in every situation. You know, hardened means a kind of stone. To petrify, callous, blind, harden. I don't want any type of that heart. I like what it says in the book of Ezekiel and Hebrew with this new covenant, that he would give you a heart of flesh and he would give you a new mind. Amen. He would give me the ability to understand the scriptures of a revealing of this new covenant, which is Jesus Christ. He takes what it says. It takes out the stony heart and gives it a heart of flesh. Amen. Aren't you glad that he's replaced your stony heart? Amen. And given you a heart of flesh. That you can see God do miracles and not say, I wonder how that really happened. I wonder what was really going on. But it had a heart of flesh and say, thank you, Jesus. So that when they saw Jesus and he calmed the waters, they weren't like, wow, how did that happen? They should have said, "What we, after what we just saw, no doubt he has the power not only to multiply food, but to change the weather, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to give his life, amen, to be in the grave for 3 days, to be raised up, to be at the right hand of the Father, to be born again, his spirit living in you, and you and I is standing here, as sure as we are standing here, he is coming again for you and I. Hallelujah. That's what faith does. Amen and amen. When God, we want to declare the works of God. We know the world's going to try to make fun of that, going to try to tamp that down, try to make excuses. But for you and I, man, we got to be bold because we know God is still, what? Calming the waters, healing lives, healing the sick, delivering those bound by sin, changing, restoring lives, doing the impossible. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Let me just read this other account real quick. I don't have much time. And if I go over 2 minutes, you guys going to be okay? So Matthew 14, 22 through 33, because this is another accountant that you don't hear from Mark or John in Matthew. So immediately afterward, he compelled the disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land. Yeah, 3 to 4 miles. Amen. Battered by the waves. So now we're seeing the boat is battered by the waves in this account, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Amen. And Peter got psyched up then. And Peter says, responded and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus, but seeing the wind, right? He became frightened when he began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And I used to read that and say, well, that's kind of being hard on him, Jesus. But reading the other accounts where it says that they had seen the miracle of the food and their hearts had been hardened, it was going back to them saying, "Didn't you see what I did, Peter? And nothing is impossible for me. You of little faith, man, you could have come out and kept walking with me. Did you see what I just did to feed the 5,000? Oh, ye of little faith." When you read all three accounts and it makes sense, he wasn't being hard on Peter. He's saying, "Peter, haven't you seen me come through time after time after time again? But you looked at the wind." And then when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are truly God's son." Well, I'm not being rude, but no duh. Do you understand what they're saying here after in the context of their hearts and trying to figure out? They said, "Truly, you're the Son of God." Oh, man, are you just now seeing that? He's thinking, "Boys, are you just seeing that now? I control the wind." I'm telling you, he controls the wind of our lives. He's the one that provides our bread. Amen. He blesses the work of our hands. But isn't he the one that provides the work, the health? Isn't he the one that gives us the wisdom on our expenses? Amen. He controls the bread. And it says that we don't live by bread alone anyway, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God right here. Amen. There's the true bread. "You are truly the Son of God." So this time it says he compelled the disciples to get to the other side. Say, "Guys, get in and go." So this time the boat was battered by the waves. So it wasn't just a strong wind. And then it says it was a wind that was against them, but it was battering against the boat. That boat was taking a hit with the waves. The boat was battered by the waves. We're talking about a serious situation. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." He said this time, "Take courage." Amen. Take courage. And Peter says, a couple more comments. Peter says, "It is you. If it is you, command me to come see you." And Jesus said, "Come on. Come on out. Step out here. You've seen me work, Peter, in so many areas of your life. You've seen what I can do. Step out on the water with me. Trust me." When the Lord says, "Come on," in an area of our lives, we can trust you. We can trust him. And one thing, the saying that I like, it says, if you're not bumping into the devil sometimes, then you must be going the same direction. We're going to bump into him. When you bump into him, just know that it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It might mean that right now you're in some rough waves. There's waves battering against your boat. But trust him. Listen for him to say, "Come on. Come out. Follow me." There's an adventure in life trusting and following Jesus Christ. There's an adventure in life stretching yourselves. Amen. Being a giver into the kingdom of God. Serving. A kind word to somebody. Acting opposite of how our grumpy selves can feel sometimes, because we know he's going to calm the waters. He said, but seeing the wind, Peter was frightened. Amen. He saw the wind. Like I said, I used to say, "Why were you so hard on Peter?" But when you read the other account about them not taking anything from the fish and loaves, then you kind of understand what Jesus was saying now. Amen. He says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And then they worshiped him, but they were astonished. They were astonished. Now, and understand, when you take these three accounts, the reason why they were astonished, they were starting to dawn maybe a little bit. We're going to see, because in the rest of this chapter, it wasn't just for the 5,000, it was for them. That experience in that boat was for them. Because later on in the chapter, we're going to see that everybody that was following Jesus because of the multiplication of food left. And the only ones that remained were his disciples who had had that experience there in that boat. So what do I take out of that? When we have things in our lives that we don't do well or we fail, God's always there. He comes back around. He's always faithful. Even in areas of our heart that can get hard and harder and not sensitive, the Lord is always looking to giving us an opportunity to say, to fall on our knees and say, I worship you. How could I have ever doubted you, Lord? How could have I ever doubted you? He did that for them and them alone. Everything orchestrated by Jesus Christ. So later on in the chapter, when everybody left, they said, no, we know you're God. We don't understand what you just said, but we're not going anywhere. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you for your power and your strength in our lives. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for encouraging us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that even when the word of God says, my ways aren't your ways, Lord, I pray that we would search out your ways to understand your ways. You're so faithful, God. You're so kind. You're so forgiving. Your mercies and your tender mercies are new every morning. We thank you for that, God, that you give us time after time again to come back and fall on our knees and worship him in astonishment and say, you truly are the Son of God. As you didn't leave us to our own devices, you didn't leave us in the middle of the ocean, you didn't leave us with winds and water battering against the boat of life, but you showed up on the scene. Even after a failure of them not believing you, you showed up again. So we thank you for that in our lives, that you show up again and again and again because you're faithful. So we honor you, we bless you, we praise you, and you exalt you, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful to be children of the King. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thank you for coming to Wednesday. Hey, let's pray for Jessie Ann. So Jessie Ann's sick right now, something with her stomach.